dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Welcome in, everybody, to SVC Sports Talk. I am Bruce Knox, along with a couple gentlemen we will introduce momentarily. But first, we want to tell you that our show, 224, is brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Of course, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, just off of Bridge Street behind the Hampton Inn. They are our billboard sponsor, and we certainly do appreciate their involvement. If you have any questions whatsoever about Triple Crown, best way to get to them is either call them at 740-773-7529, or you can look them up on the web at www.triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com. And they just continue to go great guns over there, gentlemen. They are now offering limousine rentals. And as I was looking at that on the website, I think that, you know, John, I think we could probably get the executive management of SVC Sports Talk to look at you know, driving us around Chillicothe area in maybe one of those limousine vans. Looks pretty nice.
I couldn't agree more. Be perfect.
Yeah. Could you see John Bruce pulling up to like the Uniota Westfall soccer game at the limousine? Right, we get right to the front gate.
Yeah. And man, I'm telling you, it's got the widescreen TV in the back. And the thing I dearly loved was their choice in the promotional shots of that widescreen. They had Ricky Bobby on the widescreen. So they had me at that right away. But give the guys at Triple Crown a call. They just have everything going for them, it seems like, and they just continue to expand and offer in offerings. I noticed that they have now a 15-inch sub, or it was a 16-inch sub. I'm going to have to get over there. I really want to try one of those bad boys, Shane. You and I can have a beat down on that thing. I really do. So we appreciate Triple Crown. And as you've already kind of said some things here, John Bruce is with me tonight. We appreciate you being here, John. And of course, Shane Combs as well. How are you, Shane?
Oh, guys, I'm doing great. I tell you, what a busy week. Had back-to-back football Friday night and then a Saturday night of football out in Edina as well. But looking back, I knew Thursday night, I never thought the website was going to update. You know, we always talk about how busy it is in the fall.
Yeah.
And you had the great accomplishment of Coach Smith, which I'm real excited about the coverage we have planned on this week's show to honor our greatest coach in our conference's history and what she's accomplished. But then you had the SVC match number three, not to mention all the other volleyball that night.
Mm-hmm.
SVC match number three, junior high football. John had a great soccer game that our soccer match that night. It kind of almost got buried in some of the headlines, but that was exciting to follow. Yeah, not to mention earlier in the week, you had what, tennis in action, Uniota three times, other soccer, some cross country news that's going to move to this week. We named our first athlete of the week there, so thank you to Herbie Strange, State Farm Insurance. He's been with us all 11 years of the website. So, yeah, really busy time in the fall, but I'd be lying if I didn't say I love every minute of it. And, you know, it's just a fun thing to do here in the SVC, cover our great kids and programs.
I got to see John on Friday night as well. Surprisingly, we were kind of dueling tweeting. and I looked down at my feed, and John was tweeting as far also from the Vinton County Southeastern game. So I said, "You here?" And he said, "Sure." So he came over and joined me in the press box for a little bit. So we got to do that as well. John, busy week for you as well.
Oh, yeah. It was a good week.
Yep.
Always enjoy getting out and watching the games. Just really, I got to watch my first live volleyball match of the year, regular season match.
Mm-hmm.
And that soccer game Shane mentioned between Wilmington and Uniota was just an outstanding game. And then my tweets weren't coming in as often because of the high quality service for Sprint down in MacArthur.
Right.
But I was glad I got to run into you, and it was a great game. Would have liked to have seen, you know, the
result differently.
Yeah,
SBC, I understand.
Get a win there. But if they're going to lose, it should be to a school like Vinton County.
Okay, we'll take
yes.
that.
Well, well, and guys, quick too, if you don't mind, I put it on Twitter. I appreciated the picture there from you guys as well. But I want to give a shout out to my brother Matt, going in the Vinton County Hall of Fame. Well deserved there. So congratulations to him and all the other people. I know he had a couple of former players and so forth went in with him. Had to be a cool moment for him.
Mm-hmm. And he was he's also in Uniota's Hall of Fame as well.
As well as the Tip-Off Classic over at Zane Trace. So, yeah, obviously a great career playing and coaching, and, yeah, really, really happy for him. Well-deserved. I know how hard he works at it.
Yeah, and he may really actually have the big head now. Is he get a ring or something like that when he goes into those? He's like one of those guys.
Actually, if I can be honest for a second.
Sure.
He was arrogant as all get out on the court when he played.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know it until my freshman year when I was out there with him. I didn't realize how subtle it was. So, I mean, obviously he had a great deal of confidence in his ability to play the game of basketball. But what's funny about that is as an adult, all this stuff, he's embarrassed by it. It drives him nuts. So it's one of those things where he would completely – like he's listening to the show right now thinking, okay, guys, let's move on to the show.
Yeah. I mean,
like it's one of those things that that's just how he is. But it's but no, in all seriousness, I understand how hard he works at it, so I wanted to throw that in there. I appreciate it.
Well, we congratulate Coach Combs. He's well-deserved, even though he really doesn't want to talk about it, and I will concur with that. I have had that firsthand.
I'm sure he's glad it's over.
Yes.
So he won't have to hear about it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Well, guys, everybody with listening to us, you just stay with us, even though the week was busy. The lead story was pretty obvious. As the best coach in SBC history, hit an amazing milestone. Well, Shane, you already alluded to it, and that is the milestone reached by Coach Laura Smith. And it was a big one, was it not?
It really was, guys. I tell you, first of all, for me to look at it as a fan, then for me to look at it as a coach myself, just crazy. I just kept thinking about it. I know I had multiple tweets where I was telling people I promised I wouldn't do this all weekend, but I just – yeah, John, I just couldn't come up with a word. As a language arts guy, you know, you feel like I'm going to find just the perfect wording here to put this in print for people. And I just failed miserably. This is something that you just almost can't even comprehend. You know, growing up, I was always aware of a dean of volleyball. As my wife Bethany and I started dating, I started to really learn the game of volleyball more and more. And, you know, I was really lucky when I first started studying the game. I was watching some of my family play in Alexander. Mm-hmm. They were in the state tournament about three straight times there. So I was watching a high level of volleyball. And ironically enough, Coach Brad Jeffers at Alexander then will tell you that Laura Smith and the Adena program had a lot to do with mentoring him and preparing his teams. And, you know, watching a lot of Adena, Westfall back then, those were the Cassie Sauer days there at Westfall, with Coach Smith there at Adena, Lori Coker there at Westfall, just a high level of volleyball. And, you know, over the last 10 to 15 years, just studying the SBC, it's been just unreal in her career. 34 years, John. You and I both coach multiple sports. I mean, to think 34 years, that number in itself is crazy. But then you throw in the winning. You know, you go back 1990, the numbers will ooh and ah you. I want to say 21 of 22 at one point. They won the league championship 21 of 22 years. Mm-hmm. 17 coach of the years during that stretch. I think they won them all outright for the exception of just a couple. Since then, in the last 6 years, they won a few more. She's been coach of the year a few more times. But, you know, what's ironic about the way she's been a great ambassador for the game is we've had three different teams win the league during that stretch as well. And I think that even speaks to her in terms of what she does for club volleyball and for coaches around the area and people that have been on her staff that have branched out to their own programs now. It's remarkable. I know back on the website, looking back through some of the archives today, back in 2008, I remember doing an article on her 500th day, where Adina beat Olin Tangi and Liberty and Dublin Jerome, or Olin Tangi, Liberty and Dublin Jerome and Dublin Sciota, you know, that crazy non-league schedule they play. And then it was Thursday, August 29th of 2013. She won 600. You know, and then here we are now. What was funny about the 500 article I look back at, John, at the time of that win, she was 598. That was her record. And that's what's funny is our reaction is both as coaches just to laugh. And I failed myself just all day looking at these numbers, almost just laughing out loud at myself. I was almost entertaining myself just by looking through the stuff. But no, it is. And I guess, you know, Don, my question for you is just you know, we could do an odd numbers and we could give all these different things. Give me a perspective for just a second as a fan, as someone who coaches, just your first reaction when you even hear 34 years or you hear 700 wins.
Well, you said you were going, we didn't want to ooh and all over the numbers, but as a numbers guy, it blows it blows my mind at the consistency.
Yeah.
I did some not great math. Somebody might, you know, give us feedback that this is wrong, but over the 34 years, she's won, averaged over 21 wins a season. That says a lot for the discipline in her program, the consistency with the kids and other coaches, and the talent that's been there. But that talent also has to be coached. You're not going to just be able to go out and just win every night. I've watched them in recent years, and they are so prepared for everything that the other team's bringing to them that, you know, they're at times they're extending these matches if they're, you know, maybe smaller than a team that has a lot more size and athleticism, but their techniques and their knowledge of the game is so out of this world that they always have a chance to win. And then, like you brought up, the teams that they go out of the league and play, they challenge themselves. So when they come in with these just unreal records from time to time, or sometimes when they don't have as many wins, they'll still go into the tournament and get a good draw because it's Adina volleyball and everyone knows who they play. So, you know, they may lose some extra games to other teams, but they still get so much respect because of what she's done, built her program. It blows my mind. You know, it's just something that I can't even get a grasp on, because if you look at the website and you look at the history of volleyball in the last few years, there's been, I think it was like the last 5 years, there's been seven, maybe eight teams that have won over 21 games. And those are teams that are making deep runs and are winning the league. That's doing it every year for 34 years. It's amazing.
Well, I love what you said about the coaching aspect. You know, a lot of times we don't stop and just give credit to the actual coaching. You know, you talk about the technique of passing, the technique of hitting. It's so consistent throughout the entire program. You know, as the Adina kids come through, and the in-match adjustments. There'll be times you'll see an Adina team, you know, maybe taken on the chin in the first set, and within a matter of just 5 to 10 minutes, just refocusing and making a slight adjustment, doing different things. And, you know, those are things you can just talk about over and over and over. And, you know, what we wanted to do tonight, guys, is a real special thing. This is where, you know, Bruce and DBK Media Services, this is where they make the podcast so special, his ability to do a lot of different things for us. And, yeah, I reached out to a lot of people throughout the community, and I apologize if I didn't give some people enough time if they wanted to participate in this, but the feedback was overwhelming. It was really cool, especially with this happening Thursday night and Bruce needing to get this stuff prepared late Saturday for us to record here on Sunday night. But I've asked them to kind of just send in any remarks they wanted to, and the feedback was really cool. Bruce, if you want to go ahead with that sound clip and let the fans enjoy this.
This is Jimmy Hutton, coach for Southeastern Volleyball. I just wanted to congratulate Coach Smith on her 700th career win. She is one of the greatest coaches that has ever coached in this area. I had the opportunity to work with her for 7 years, coached 7th grade volleyball at Edina. I just wanted to give her a shout out. Congrats, Laura. Keep going. Thanks.
Hey, Laura. It's Ed Yates. Awesome job on reaching 700 wins. Of course, I had no doubt that you would do it. Hey, great job again. I love you, girl. Keep going.
Hey, it's Ricky McGill. Just wanted to congrats you on your 700 win.
Congratulations, Coach Smith, on your 700 win. This is Kirsty Yates, coach, graduation year of 2010.
Hey, this is a shout-out to Laura Smith for 700 wins. What an awesome accomplishment that is, and run a strong program for so many years. A great coach to look up to, and hopefully just be able to follow in the footsteps of. So congrats again, Coach Sally.
This is Carly Carroll, and I just wanted to say congrats to Laura on 700 career wins.
Hi, this is Coach Ridenour. I just wanted to congratulate Coach Smith on her 700th win. That's a great accomplishment. Great job.
Hi, Laura. It's Paul Tenedo. I just want to congratulate you on your 700th win. That's truly a testament to your dedication and commitment to the sport of volleyball. Not only have you made Edina a powerhouse, but you have also raised the level of play in the SEC and Southern Ohio as well. So thank you, and congrats.
This is Tina McGill with Huntington. Just wanted to congratulate Laura Smith on her amazing achievement with her 700th win. Thank you.
Jessica Sullivan, congratulations, Coach Smith, on your 700th win. That's an amazing accomplishment.
Hi, this is Cindy Davis with Zane Trace, and I would like to congratulate Coach Smith on her 700th win. What a great accomplishment. You make us proud.
This is Lisa McFadden, just wanting to congratulate Laura on her 700th win last night.
This is Tiffany Carroll. I just wanted to say congratulations to Coach Laura Smith from Edina for her outstanding accomplishment. Congrats.
Hey, this is Tiffany Daly, and I just wanted to say congratulations to Coach Smith on 700 wins and counting. As someone who loves the game of volleyball, I can't say enough how thankful I am to have witnessed from a young age on, whether as a player, opponent, or fellow coach, your knowledge and teaching of the game. You deserve this.
Yeah, it's Matt Hoops calling to congratulate Coach Smith on 700 wins. Just amazing feat to be able to do that. It's hard to believe someone could be able to be that consistent for that long and to do it the right way. It's just it's been awesome to see from afar, and really appreciate it to be able to, I guess, witness that. So congratulations, and keep up the good work, and I'm sure there'll be many more wins in the future.
That was outstanding. Bruce, again, bringing his A game this week. I really appreciate that. I know the people in the league do, and I'm sure Coach Smith will as well. You know, John, what sticks out at me is I listened to that, and it was neat for me because that was the first time I'd heard all of them put together. And I think when you're in coaching – it wasn't just volleyball people. It's right. People from all sports. It's people all over the place. I think if you coach and you're involved in anything with young kids, or if you're involved in anything competition, you don't even have to know the sport of volleyball. When you think 34 years, when you think 700, I think there's just an outpouring of respect. And that's what I get from that. It was neat with former players like Yates and Carroll, and you had people, former players around the league that have done some coaching with or against the Laura, like Tiffany Daly, Ricky McGill jumped out. You had girls basketball coaches. You had other coaches in the league with Jimmy and Paul there from Southeastern and Tina. It was neat that Aaron Ridenour reached out. Natalie Stolle, Jess Sullivan, Cindy Davis. It was just a really, really neat thing. Lisa McFadden was a 2-time player of the year early in the 90s. She coached against her a little bit. So it's just such a mixture of people from all walks of sports and different things. I guess my question for you, John, would be when you're in coaching, there's probably not a set of compliments, or there's probably not a feedback that you care more about than what comes from your peers. And I would say that has to be the most gratifying thing. I don't want to speak for Coach Smith, but I would say that has to be one of the coolest things in coaching, is when those particular things come from people you work with over the years, or even compete against.
I agree completely. It's always nice to get, like, just as a lower level coach, is hearing something nice from your peers, because that just shows that it's somebody that knows what you've been through. And I thought that was just really cool, hearing the coaches from different levels. You know, like you mentioned, the coaches from within the league. That was really well put together. Really enjoyed listening to it. And the one comment about how her coaching and consistency has raised the level of play, not only in the league, but in all of Southeast Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just, and that, I think that says the most about how she's done, what just an amazing job. And it has raised the level of volleyball. And I think she's, and her program is a huge reason why our league is so respected and so much fun to watch in volleyball now.
Well, you know, Bruce, too, you hear a Matt Hoops, or you heard some of the basketball coaches, Ed Yates of baseball. Obviously, he's no stranger to milestones and a lot of winning. That's what's cool about it, is outside of the volleyball world, yes, just people around the league taking notice of greatness.
Yep. And, you know, we could go on and on all night about this. But are we forgetting anybody to mention in all of this, Shane?
John, let me throw one more thing out here and see if you follow me here. As hard as I am sometimes on, you know, say the administration from school to school around the area, I've got to give a shout out here to the Adena administration. You know as well as I do in coaching that it's not been sunshine and puppies for 34 years. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're going to come across playing time issues, your role, you know, too hard on the kids, or, you know, those things. Just you don't coach and not have those things happen. And certainly those things, I'm sure, have come up in Frankfort. But I got to give a little credit to the Adena administration, your principals, your superintendents, your board members over a 34-year career, to hang in there with a coach and understand what it is you have, and to make sure, for the good of your kids and for the good of your volleyball program and the good of your community, that you keep that there. And then as a coach myself, I think it's safe for me to speak for Coach Smith when I would say that we've got to give a shout out to all her coaching staff over a 34 yes. years career. I know they've talked about the ability of some of the elementary gym teachers to help teach the game, and in the junior high levels, oh gosh, Donna Atchison is a Hall of Famer in herself. Yeah, she's found a home there. She's very much a part of what's happened. And, you know, John, I guess maybe that would be, I certainly don't want to cut you off, but I think that's something that you probably can relate to so much, because here's someone that is completely a Hall of Fame level head coach herself, yet she's found a spot where she just believes in what she's a part of. And I know that she's been a big, big part of what they've accomplished in volleyball there. But that's something that you can probably relate to in terms of when you're working with a Coach Hoops, or some of the things you guys have accomplished, that it really is gratifying for not just Coach Smith at the top, but for all the people that have had a role in this throughout the whole process.
Oh, 100%. I was with Coach Thomas in his 300th win in baseball.
Yes.
A couple years ago. And being a part of, I think it was like 175 to 180 of those wins, you know, it felt like I accomplished it as well. So I'm sure Coach Atchison, and I know she's been there a long time, you know, this has to be really special for her too, because she knows how much she's put into it. And, you know, Coach Smith, you know, gives her the props that she deserves for how much work she's put in. And I just hearing, like, Jimmy Hutton was one of her seventh grade coaches.
Right.
She doesn't just throw coaches in just to fill a spot. She has just high level coaches at all of her levels. And that is one of the reasons why they, like I mentioned earlier, with the technique and being able to adjust the game plans, that starts at an early age. And she's done a great job setting herself up with, you know, really good coaches around her. To make things, I'm sure it makes her job a little bit easier when she gets up once those kids reach the varsity level.
Yeah. Really good stuff, guys. I appreciate your efforts, Bruce. I know it takes some time to put that together, but really well done, Bruce. Thank you. And hopefully everybody in our volleyball community, as well as just our SBC community, enjoyed that.
All right. Our look at Laura Smith's milestones has been brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. They're located at 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Give them a call at 740-986-4653 and tell them you heard about them on SVC Sports Talk. We appreciate their support as well. Volleyball fans, we will have some more volleyball later in the show, but next we head to the football field where the league enjoyed another winning football Friday night. As we head to the football field, we're going to dig deeply into the fan feedback, and that is sponsored by North Fork Animal Clinic and Dr. Blake Lloyd. Appreciate his support of the podcast and the website as well. And they are located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. Telephone number there is 740-773-PETS or 740-773-7387. And, of course, as always, tell them that you heard about them on SVC Sports Talk as well. Well, guys, all kinds of headlines or subjects coming out of the fan feedback this week. Shane, I'm going to kind of go to you on this one because you've had the most time to look over this stuff. But we had a little bit of kind of continuation, if you will, regarding scheduling and also some offerings of different sports. Why don't you kind of summarize that?
Yeah, honestly, guys, as far as the scheduling, we kind of had a mixed bag. It was pretty much cut right down the middle. A lot of people talking about the play better to get better. That's certainly true. I think we'd all agree with that from an improvement standpoint. But I also thought what made football so unique, John, was the fact that you don't have the automatic postseason bid, where a lot of times that volleyball team or baseball team, softball team, basketball team, they can kind of, you know, get a little creative in their scheduling if they feel like they have the program or the team to do so, because you're always going to get put into that sectional bracket and always have that chance. I think that's probably some of the most interesting feedback I heard on that. I also heard that, you know, finding that balance because, you know, as the one email said, winning helps a lot. You know, I mean, it's hard to sell people on your program if you're a first year coach and you're 0-4. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just one of those things where it kind of goes back to that whole crock pot microwave discussion from week mm-hmm. one here this year. So I could kind of really relate to that. The feedback that intrigued me the most probably came more on the offering of sports. You know, people talking about how they understood our passion for education. A couple people, John, thought maybe we weren't looking at it open-mindedly enough. They thought maybe we were a little biased toward our education, that we weren't maybe looking at it open-mindedly enough in terms of that if we're not being careful, we start to water down some of the programs and kids are not getting the proper experience. They're not getting the proper discipline or the structure. And I respected that because, again, I know how passionate I am when it comes to education. But I'm in class the other day and we have this new leadership class and we're writing these goals and so forth. And in our Leader in Me program, I'm talking to the kids about, you know, your X, Y, and when, where you at, where you want to get to by when and so forth. And we're having a really adult discussion. It was really impressive, you know, see some of these kids at community service or they wanted to raise some money. One kid even mapped out a little plan. They were going to start saving money and pay for car insurance. Their parents said they'd get them a car. I mean, it was really impressive, right? So right. A couple athletes, some goals in the weight room by their freshman year and lifting. I walked by one paper and it says that the goal was to get to 50 wins in Fortnite by the middle of September.
There you go.
And I start thinking of John Bruce immediately talking about the Fortnite team needed in the SVC, and I'm thinking, you want to do what? And obviously I didn't say that. I just tried to help the score or whatever, but I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I mean, when I was when I was 13 years old, I don't know that a teacher was ever going to ask me that. I was going to – I mean, I don't even know what the equivalent would be. You know, I played some good
Pong,
Mario Brothers back in the day. You know what I mean? I was always player two Luigi. You know what I mean? What was I going to make my goal? Like, you know, fight the fireball dragon in World 8-4? I mean, come on. I mean, it's – you know, I don't know. So – but the – the offering of sports and the whole Fortnite discussion came out. But I guess, John, in all seriousness, the best feedback I guess I would ask you is, do you see – if we step away from the educational glasses for a second, do you understand another side of the debate when it comes to offering too many sports and maybe not properly offering them with the structure that, you know, maybe a program would deserve to be put out there in terms of teaching kids the right way to do it?
Maybe I would have somebody would have to like I'd have to have a sit down conversation with this person and I would listen, but like I get the idea, but I don't think that that's truly where it's coming from. I feel like it's more built towards, you know, we need to have football success because it teaches discipline. Well, other sports do too. It's not just because you're bad at you might have a bad soccer team that you're not teaching discipline, because they're also learning other lessons. I'd like to say I'm more open-minded, but I'd have to hear the more of the side of the conversation.
Yeah, and I agree there, Bruce, because I just feel like that what happens is, you know, there's a lot of times, you know, I've coached teams that we just haven't been very good, but I've had some teams win 16, 17 games in baseball that drive you nuts. Mm-hmm. Where I've had some teams that win 6 or 7 and I could coach them all day, every day, just love them to death. They'd run through a wall trying, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. there's so many valuable lessons that you come. Every coaching experience is different and you try to reach kids no matter what the talent level is or whatever it might be. So yeah, it's just, you know, maybe the email's right. Or maybe it's just, I am so biased and so strong on that one side that maybe I can't understand it.
Well, I think that, you know, let's just say that it's because they're playing a sport that, you know, they're not having much success. Being able to see that through and reach it and to deal with the disappointment of maybe not reaching the levels you want to reach is a big life lesson too, because you're not going to get every job that you apply for. If you are, sure, great. You know, congratulations. But most people, you're going to have some disappointments in life. It's not just, you know, it's not just, oh, let's quit this so we can build up this other thing. It should be, well, find these kids' interests and make the most of it. And like you said, some teams are more fun to coach than others. And, you know, it doesn't come down to wins and losses when that happens. Usually it's about the personalities and if those kids can be disciplined. And a lot of times, you know, you could have a team where you win 16, 17 games and kids just don't show up to practice. Right. You roll the ball out, they're still going to win. But you might have a team with 6 or 7 wins, like you mentioned, they're coming hard. They're working hard every day. They're putting in the extra work and, you know, maybe you don't see it on, we'll use Friday nights as an example, but you're seeing it day to day. And that's, you know, that's all.
No, I get that. I think that's good stuff. I think it's good discuss. The better question, Bruce, might be, John, are you old enough to remember Luigi and the Fireball Dragon in World 8-4? Or am I dating myself there?
This year for my birthday.
The retro games. Chris, yeah.
My brother Chris got me the NES Classic.
Yes.
And
that I could count on Chris.
Yeah, and I'm trying to improve, like kind of like the Fortnite kid. Every once in a while, I'm trying to improve my Super Mario Brothers 3 time of how fast I can beat it.
We're gonna have to expand the podcast into esports here as well, guys.
Yes, yeah. I mean I'm all for it. I can only beat Nintendo games. I can't beat anything new. This stuff is new. Yeah. Ridiculous. So.
It's too tough. Well, guys, back to football. Let's talk some football. What did the second week tell you that the first week did not? Either one of you, I'll throw that out for grabs. Anything?
I think we had a little more consistency Like, I mean, maybe that's not teaching us anything new, but that's showing us that, well, let's say Huntington. I know Huntington played a Sidoville East team that's down a little bit, but they reached week 12 last year. Sidoville East did. So if we go back to the scheduling thing, you don't know that they're going to drop off. But at the same time, Huntington's shown us that they have a strong defense through 2 weeks. They haven't given up a point. And I think that's one thing. I really liked what I saw out of Southeastern down at Vinton County. Wasn't sure what you'd see because of how much they lost last year. But Mikey Nusser, that kid runs hard. And obviously, you know what they have with Lane Ruby. But having another kid like Nusser just really provides. And John Winfield, man, that kid, he runs good routes on offense. But that kid just lights people up on defense. So they're a team, I think, to watch in the league once they get down and get through and see, you know, they had a lot of penalties early. If they can eliminate that, that's going to be a scary team when they run that offense. And one other thing I saw was I was really impressed with Adina, the fact they threw the ball as long also to go with their running game.
What about you, Shane?
Well, I think the first thing in my notes is I learned that Waverly's even faster.
Oh,
on
yeah.
You know, I mean, they were fast enough at Piketon in week one on turf there at home the other night there. You know, obviously they're impressive. You know, Zane Trace played hard. They did. And again, the same thing as I said about Piketon after week one, I say about Zane Trace. Zane Trace isn't bad. I really studied some of their skill kids, and they have some weapons. They have some kids that can run it. They have some kids, I think, you know, could learn to make some plays on the outside. They just got themselves off to a bad start. Their down and distance was a mess. Some mistakes. Couldn't get out of their own way at times. And then obviously, you know, Waverly's really, really good. But, you know, maybe a little bit more concerned about Piketon there in the second half, not getting more points on the board. Saturday night, Adina really probably jumped out at me as the biggest surprise in week two. I just watching the Sykes kid throw it around, you know, when you know Adina's going to run it, that's been their staple for years. And in week one, you saw that with Sykes and Throckmorton and Metzger going 90 or more yards. But then the other night in the first half, they just kind of, you know, they worked through the two lightning delays, and Sykes goes 10 of 13 through the air and 274 and four touchdowns, but he still got his 10 carries for 52 yards. So, you know, Carson Long and some wide receivers, the Myers kid making some plays on the outside. But the big story here along with Sykes is Caleb Vogelsong. He's a kid that's becoming a top five just complete football player in our league. And I think we know him, John, as a three-sport athlete, as a great catcher, great post player. Basketball, he's a kid that can really, really make plays in a variety of ways on the football field. Six receptions, 156 yards, three scores. He was doing it on the middle tight end wide receiver or the tight end screen plays in the middle. He was doing it stretching the field down the middle a little bit, just a nice big target, good hands. And then his ability after the catch was impressive. So, I think that's probably the thing that jumped out. And I think on paper, people are starting to say Unio to Paint Valley. I think that's fair. I mean, especially the way they've played. But I've even had some people, John, tell me that Huntington Piketon maybe will struggle to win in the league. Maybe that's fair, too. But here's the thing. Both have a quarterback in Galloway and McClaw. Yeah. On any given night, go for 300 yards, three touchdowns, and it wouldn't shock you. You know, with kids like Beeler on the outside for Huntington, you know, Pack and Lytle and so forth there at Piketon. I know they've been a little banged up at the wide receiver position, but I don't know. You mentioned Ruby and some of those kids there, and then I certainly don't want to overlook the Westfall story. They're most likely going to have a chance to get off to the 3-0 start. Yeah. So that's pretty good list of things that we have here, I think, in week two. And obviously, as we get to week three and we play some more like opponents, I think we'll know even more.
Well, Shane, why don't you give us a hidden football headline that not enough people really are talking about this early in the year?
I would say probably the Gibson return at Westfall the other night. His name showing up in the scoring summary probably, John, is what jumped out at me. They're going to quietly maybe get to 3-0 here. And with Unio playing Waverly this week and Paint Valley going to Wellston, Westfall's just kind of flying under the radar there a little bit. And, you know, then Edina comes out on Saturday night. They're the only game in town. Sykes and Fuglsong put up these numbers. That kind of jumps, you know. You've got all these schools going undefeated and at the top of the standings, and here's Westfall just kind of flying under the radar a little bit. So I would say the X factor to me in terms of headline could be what Gibson allows a team that – what was it, about 17 seniors on that roster?
Yes.
With an opportunity to be a pretty good football team in this league.
John, your hidden football headline?
Well, we're pretty much on the same page. I actually had a throwback to Saved by the Bell. What? As what was my headline, but you stole it from me because it was going to be the Zach Attack. If you remember the weird Casey Kasem Friends Forever episode. It was going to be Zach Attack. Gibson makes his return because it felt like you said, it felt like it was kind of under the radar.
We've referenced Luigi and Zach Morris in the same show, 224 here? That's classic.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that would happen in the early episodes. But, mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, guys, can you give the fans two or three players that entered the year off the radar that are now proving to be possible X factors in this year's league race? I think you've mentioned several of them, but
mm-hmm. Well, John, how about the Ison kid from Paint Valley? You know, here's a kid that I think we knew, the Mettler and McDonald and Cockrell and Newland and so forth, McFadden. I think we knew a lot of those names, but you know, Ison being healthy. People that have been around the league, they knew how special athlete this kid was, clear back in the 7th, 8th grade track and so forth. But, man, he's an X factor. And then I would say probably you mentioned it earlier, the running back there for Southeastern, mm-hmm. Mike Nestor. He anything that makes you honor Lane Ruby showing the football inside mm-hmm. just makes Ruby that much more difficult. I mean, it almost, I saw a couple of videos of the Ruby kid run, you know, other than his number 25, which you guys know how I feel about that. No, in all seriousness, it looks like the video game analogy, like someone's got a joystick, like making mm-hmm. the kid move around. It's he's special. He's a good player.
What about you, John?
I was going to mention Nusser because there was the big kickoff return. I know they ended up turning it over, but he's on the opposite side, and I'm not 100% sure Lane Ruby needed the extra block, but man, he lit a kid up just going and covering his teammate and blocking for him, and it helped break the big run. So I think he's an X factor overall. Cale Fuglsong, I know you had mentioned him in the preseason, but I mean, 6 catches, 156, and 3 touchdowns is, you know, that's a major X factor for a team that you think, when you think Edina, you think running. But with him, you're going to have to think otherwise. And also, one I was thinking also, he's played a lot the last couple of years, but he has never really got big headlines, and we've seen him in basketball. But Chance Smith from Unioda makes another interception this past week, mm-hmm. had a big return on it. Had a couple of big plays on defense and caught a touchdown in week one. Hmm. He's the type of kid who can emotionally carry a team. If he makes a big play, those kids will follow him because he's just such a personality that he could carry them. And, you know, he's a player I think to watch for on Friday when they face that juggernaut from Waverly.
I thought that was a great pick, Bruce, because, John, I was just getting ready to interrupt and ask you, how about an X factor in the Unioda passing game? So that was great timing. And don't forget about the kicking game, guys. Again, you know, my brother and I were talking about that Southeastern Benton County game today. There's an example. Both teams score 3 touchdowns. Benton County wins by 1. Why? Point after attempts and so forth. So that's an X factor all the way around. The Clark kid from Edina last night, nearly automatic all night. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, let's move on giving a look at some of our other sports as well. This brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club. Again, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport, 740-986-4653. And as long as this weather stays as it is, you can get out there and still hit the little white ball around, particularly later in the afternoon when the heat is off. Mm-hmm. But give them a call and tell them that you heard about them on SVC Sports Talk and see if they can't work out just exactly what you are looking for. And, of course, they've got all the banquet facilities and so forth. If you're looking for some place to kind of go and have a big banquet, they can fit the bill for that as well. That's That's Crown Hill Golf Club, again, Williamsport, and the phone number is 740-986-4653. We'll move first to cross country.
All right. Before that, I want to give a shout out to Ohio real quick. I'm down in Atlanta this weekend, and I'm sitting at a Atlanta Braves game, and I'm with my mom, and she says to me, she goes, "What? It's hot down here. What's it like in Ohio?" And I look, and it's 88 down here, and it was 90 degrees in Chillicothe.
Yeah.
It was hotter there than the sweltering heat in the South. So big shout out to Ohio on that. And that really goes into this week with cross country because, you know, a couple weeks ago the temperature dropped and we thought,
yeah,
you know, things are great. And then Mother Nature just said, not so fast. And because of how fast it got hot and what the heat index was, it ended up causing the Huntington Invitational to be postponed. Hmm. And it will be next week. Shane, is there anything that you can tell us about cross country right now?
Well, I thought what was interesting about that is when I got the word, I had found out that they thought all eight schools would be there. That was going to be my understanding. They ended up making the call in the heat. That is going to be the September 5th. So that'd be what, here this Wednesday going to come up? It'd be interesting to see if all eight schools' schedules are going to allow them to return. But I think, again, what's so intriguing to people is it's a newer cross-country course, and they really want to get out and see it. I'm told it's a pretty tough one. On the website, I know Huntington, Southeastern, Westfall, Piketon on our local one here this week was up in Circleville. That's where most of our local kids were at. And don't forget, too, while we're on cross country, don't forget to check out your middle school links there because I know for example, on the girls' side, Caitlin Shipley of Westfall finished fifth, a junior high kid, and then Piketon's Jazlyn Lamerson. Anytime you see the name Lamerson from Piketon, there's another throwback. You can't help but think of some of the great Piketon cross country teams in the early 90s. So, yeah, make sure when you go on there, you're not only just checking out the high school races, but the junior high races as well. So hopefully that takes place this week, John, and we'll have something to kind of, you know, at least give us an early look at the SVC cross country race.
It'll be interesting because I think it's supposed to be just as warm the remainder of the week as it has been. Yeah. So my 90s are showing up again. So they may just have to run it. Okay, let's move on to soccer, and we'll go to Shane for this.
John, here's what's on my mind this week. You know, we talked a little bit, and I was really intrigued as I learned more and more about the game of soccer and trying to look at some of these key matchups in our league. And you were talking a lot about time and score and tempo last week. And I got to thinking, you know, when I was watching Waverly's football offense the other night, you know, you'll try to run the ball, keep their offense off the field. Yes, not really Piketon's tempo. Zane Trace tried to do a little bit more. I'm sure it'll be in Uniota's game plan as well. Or, you know, in basketball, if you have that team that's really good, you'll try to, you know, maybe have 30, 45 second possessions. And again, the idea is to try to shorten the number of times that elite offense is able to score points against you. And that sounds great Monday through Thursday in the scouting report meetings, but you get out there on Friday night and then you find out why those teams are so good. I guess my question for you is, how can you explain to the sports fans that maybe don't follow soccer as much how a Westfall Lady Mustangs might go about a Uniota team or in the game of soccer, that stall ball, if you will, for lack of a better term. And then if what happens is if you don't get ahead early, I assume that becomes a lot more difficult to – and that's where your blowouts can come into play.
Yeah. One big thing you can do is take your time on any time the ball goes out of bounds. I saw a team last week where – they were overmatched, but every time the goalie touched it, you have 7-8 seconds. Usually if you're acting like you're doing anything, the officials don't seem to care. So you can kind of waste some time that way. You can waste time in a variety of ways. I was watching that Uniota Wilmington game with Clifton Brown, and he was kind of amazed because there was a play where Hayden Longoy, he cleared the ball about 40 yards out of bounds, you know, on the sideway towards the Pleasant Valley Road, but there's no ball boys. Now, a lot of schools don't have ball boys, so if the ball goes out that far, that's going to take some time. And, you know, he wasn't clearing it to waste time. It just, you know, it was
Right.
It was better than giving up a corner kick. But, you know, there's ways to waste time when coaches can make a lot of substitutions. And as when I coached middle school soccer, it would drive me nuts if the other team would sub someone out. They would always pick the furthest person away and tell them to run across the field. And then they would just take their time. So that's a way to kind of control the clock. You could do that anytime, but when you're losing, like you said, if you're losing, you have to be able to put more pressure on the ball. And some teams, if they, you know, the big way to do that to come back is you put pressure on the other team and you hope that they miss kick it or maybe kick it right to you. And, you know, you get the ball back and you can put pressure on. And actually, one time this year in the World Cup final, in the Men's World Cup, it was in overtime of the championship game. This is how much I didn't care since the U.S. wasn't in it this year. I don't remember who was even playing. But the team that was losing was down two, and the other team played a ball back to the goalie. Guy rushed him, and the goalie kicked it to him, and he scored the goal. So it made it a one-goal game, and they still had a chance. So even at high levels, which is why I always say, like, man, you gotta rush these kids because you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
So that's, you know, putting pressure on the other team is a way to try to come back. But soccer is one of the hardest games to come back in because of, you know, the fact that clock constantly runs outside of when goals are scored.
Well, it's just interesting how the sports do correlate in terms of that. Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense to me from a football, basketball standpoint. Mm-hmm. Almost the same exact concept. Something to keep in mind with teams trying to attack some of these really good teams like Uniota this year.
Yeah, and if you look around the district, there's a lot of lopsided games. But at the same time, that gives teams a chance to practice these different ways of trying to come back in games. And sometimes you play a lot of possession. And kind of like you said in basketball, where you're limiting possessions, you kind of want to keep possession as much as possible to try to waste some clock and give yourself the chance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. Let's move to the smaller white ball and talk about that in golf.
All right, Shane. So I would certainly never want to cheat you a chance to talk about the league, like how Uniota won this past week and took back over first place. But another topic on my mind is the lack of overall numbers. And just looking at the teams in the league, there's a lot of high scores, and also some teams aren't fielding full teams. Are you concerned about the game of golf at the high school level here in the SBC and in the Southeast District?
Well, this is an interesting topic that's coming up around the area. I'll start with your first thought there, because like you said, you never want to cheat the league itself. That was a big win for Uniota the other night with Ty Schoblock at 37, Jacob Calvin at 39. I thought, give a shout out to Levi Gerber rebounding with the 44, Tristan Steinberg, 48. So, you know, yeah, they do. And with Denzel Endicott, 37, leading Piketon past Westfall, that, you know, that certainly does give Uniota, I won't say a stranglehold, but he gives them control here as we almost are to the halfway point. But yeah, John, your point on high scoring is interesting. Seeing scores right around the 170 mark, being in contention to win SVC matches is not something we're used to seeing. Right. You know, gosh, we went forever and a day there in the league where you had to get down into the low 150s, always in the low 160s, it seemed like, even on the tougher courses. But I try to be patient. I look back to 2016. The top seven kids in the league averaged 40 or better. All league was cut off at 42.86. If you go back to our website there and look, and you know, now even on the leaderboard on the side that we put on every page of an SVC match, there's nights where you see 44 making the top five. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I try to be patient. Our league there, what, just 2-3 years ago, I want to say, had five or six college golfers, some kids that flirted with the a chance to play college golf. So I want to be patient here. I have talked to some people. Junior high golf is still pretty strong. Kids from about six, seven different schools playing. The scores I've seen are pretty good. They play from the red tees. A few kids even starting out, they'll even move up a little bit, just trying to get them some experience. Try and even start around the league, getting a couple sixth graders involved in playing and so forth. So that's awesome. I know we have some great ambassadors of the game still. You know, Coach Drummond there at Uniota works hard. Kevin Schultz with his little league programs there at Crown Hill that we highlight. So, yeah, and the girls' game is growing. I think that's the other thing that is impressive. You know, we talk about Maddie Schultz and the Westfall Lady Mustangs quite a bit on here, but I noticed on the boys' side, Emily Lotter at Uniota, Emma Winland. I know there's a young kid at Paint Valley. Their coach tells me she's getting better every week. Keep in mind, they're playing from the white tees when they're playing in these matches. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, if Emily's shooting 54 and Emma's shooting a 56, if they're able to go into the girls' tournament there in the postseason, that could correlate into some nice opportunities to qualify for them as well. So I think it's a fair question. If we're going to play a little unfair with it, I think it's a very, very fair question. As we've lost, I keep wanting to call it Running Fox, Edge here locally, that doesn't help. You know, I think it puts a lot of pressure on JC's to kind of try to return to its level that we're used to in the past. You know, we still have, you know, the VA, but I think Valley Vista, Dogwood, Big Beaver is really, really important because Crown Hill has really carried our area, quite frankly. If you think of all the stuff it's being asked to host all the way down to Portsmouth, the Elks down there, I think we, even though some of these courses I named aren't going to be nearly as nice as a Crown Hill, they're very, very important to the development of our league because that's where these kids are learning to play. So I think golf courses in a day of age where it's getting harder financially to manage them, I think that's very, very important. So we'll continue to follow it here. I think we're in for a great finish. I think it's going to be very competitive. And I still think we'll be very competitive when we split in our divisions in the postseason. But hopefully our numbers can start to rise back up here in the next year or two, and we can get some things going in the league and get these scores down a little bit.
Why don't we move on to tennis then, Shane?
Well, John, the big story this week was the perfect match, 48 straight points. And again, that's one of those things you almost can't read without laughing. We're both baseball guys, and I think sometimes it helps people in sports they don't follow as much to get these analogies of other sports. Can you compare this to the perfect game in baseball or an amazing performance in another sport? Like someone making, 20 of 20 shots one night in basketball and 10 of 10 from the free throw line scoring 50 in a game? Is there anything you can compare the perfection it takes not to mess up 48 straight times?
Well, I think the most comparable thing is to baseball, to a pitcher throwing a perfect game, because like with serving, you can have one bad serve that you as long as you don't double fault. So you can throw balls. Yeah, you get three chances before you throw fourth, and that's not the same as tennis. But to me, what makes it less comparable is almost for a perfect match to be like a perfect game in baseball. The perfect game in baseball has to be more individual. So you'd have to strike out all 27 batters or 21 batters for high school.
Right.
Yeah. It's so insane to think that you can win every single point in a tennis match, because that's not having one bad hit, one bad return on a serve, hitting it slightly too hard, or, just nicking the net. Because when I go and watch these matches, you see a lot of balls just barely clear the net, or maybe they'll tick the top of the net and fall over. You can't miss that by a centimeter. Yeah. So it is mind-boggling to me that someone can do that and has done it three times now in high school. it's difficult to compare to other sports, especially in other one-on-one sports, because those games can end quicker, or like having a match in wrestling can end immediately. I mean, you can pin someone immediately, but like you said with basketball, I remember there was a kid in Division IV a few years ago that was, I think he was like 15 of 15 from the field and 10 of 10 from the line. It was just an unbelievable individual game, but you also had to play defense in that game. So did he have a perfect game defensively too? So it's very hard. I was thinking of even just one-on-one competitions. I mean, can you have a perfect match in chess?
I don't know.
I'll go to this. Can you have a perfect match in Fortnite?
I could certainly find out for you on Tuesday and report back to you.
Yeah,
someone's coming up with 50 wins.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just it's amazing, and you know, it's something that it's so hard to comprehend that it can even happen, and that's what to me is what makes it so amazing.
Again, Bruce, I should have probably mentioned
who it was.
Sylvia Gray.
Oh, yeah, Sylvia Gray, yeah.
August 28th, she was perfect in her match against Hillsborough. And, you know, Uniota's Lady Sherman's now at 7-2 through nine matches. Sylvia Gray, 9-0. Macy Bridenball still perfect at 8-0. Remember, she had the weather cut one of her matches short earlier in the year. So those top two kids doing an outstanding job. Congratulations to them.
What must also, Heath, go ahead.
Heath Gray's, Coach Gray's had some other kids playing also. So he's getting a lot of experience on some of these other kids. I know the Hamid girl, and there's another player who have started playing varsity matches that were playing in JV matches earlier. So that's just going to help them down the line and, you know, the rest of this year and moving forward and next year.
If we had the time, we could talk about how her opponents must feel when they we could talk about that all night too, and
yes,
that'd be like me stepping up against her. It just doesn't matter. I mean,
I'll say this: if you watch her play, she's got a smile on her face, she has a great time, and her opponents, they don't seem that frustrated playing because they know what they're playing against.
Yeah,
and she's not like, she doesn't go over the top or anything. She's just there to take care of business. And, you know, it I don't think it brings the other players down too much. But like you said, it's how do you feel when you just, there's nothing you can do?
Yeah. I'd love to sometime, guys, when we can work it in, we might want to try to get an interview with that young lady, because she is something special. She really is. As we move along, I want to give another shout out to North Fork Animal Clinic, located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, and Dr. Blake Lloyd. You can give them a call at 740-773-7387 for all your veterinary, and as well as they have a spa for your animals and a resort and so forth to take care of them too. So give them a call. And again, that's Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff there at North Fork Animal Clinic. Well, we said earlier in the show that we'd talk a little volleyball. We're going to do that before we get out here. And Shane, I think you've mentioned that you've seen each team now in person. And do you have any question marks still out there in the league for you?
I think my biggest question mark, guys, comes in who is going to make the biggest improvement a month from now. You know, we have such good coaching in our league, as we highlighted, you know, one there at the beginning of the show, but really across our league, we have some really good coaching. And you know, just because you see one thing now, I don't know if that's what you'll see later. So you watch something in August, you assume it'll be that way in October. It may not be. Last year, we watched a team like Zane Trace really grow. We watched Phillips and Westfall peak at the right time. So I think the improvement comes from depth. Some of the rotations with holes I mentioned become a little bit more efficient. Maybe coaches move it around or tweak something personnel-wise. You pass a little bit better in a certain rotation, or you find a better chance to attack. So don't just see something in the first round and think it'll be that way in the second round as well.
Well, speaking of consistency, John, you know, when you're coaching these young kids, why is it so tough to get consistency?
I think it has a lot to do with the level of competition that the kids are facing. You know, you can have a lot of success against kids your own age, no matter the skill level. It could be against the highest level of kids your age, but you can still get by with the occasional mistake and possibly not react really well to the mistake. But when you're facing older and more experienced players, they're more capable of making those mistakes hurt. So I think a lot of it is these younger kids are trying to play perfect. And instead of just realizing that they're not going to play perfect, you know, maybe a mistake bothers them a little bit more than it does a more experienced player who's just like, who can shake it off and know that the other team's going to make one and they can make their adjustment to it. I just think it's, you know, it's one of those things that just comes with experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Shane, even though it's early, how good can this volleyball league end up being by the end of the year?
I think it has a chance to be really good. I mean, you have two teams that if they avoid the upset, they're not only going to play head-to-head for a league title, they might be playing head-to-head for an ability to go overall undefeated. And then they're going to split in the tournament, and both teams are going to be district championship caliber teams again, and with a chance to get to the Sweet 16 in D2, D3 in Unio Southeastern. So even a Paint Valley in D4. Mm-hmm. You know, John and I talked about the early start. I said that it might be tough for them to get over the hump, but one place you see them improving, they put 22 points on the board against Southeastern once, they get to 23 against Edina. That tells you that they're taking some steps forward in trying to handle competition a little bit better. So all of these D3 teams, Edina, Huntington, Pike, and Southeastern, I mentioned, you know, Westfall, Zane, Trace, all trying to win some sectional titles. History shows that it's not that big a deal for us to put three into the regionals. So I see a lot of kids, one or two kids on each team. You know, Cameron Battle, Miranda McCloskey, Riley Williams, Casey Pierce, Alexis Miller is a combo there at Unio. I mentioned the sneaky graduation of Ashley Taylor. Mm-hmm. There's a hitter and a passer that we didn't know much about. Allie Bennett, Laney Hill, Zane Trace. Skylar Heiss is really becoming a big-time star in our league. She was really, really good the other night when I had a chance to see her play. Yeah, I know Westfall's struggling to find a rhythm, but again, that goes with the loss of a Darby Beavers and so forth. So just, again, give them time. Let them, you know, as Jessica returns there to the sidelines, let them get into the rhythm and go a little bit. But it goes back to my first answer, I guess, Bruce.
Yeah.
Give it about a month and see where they're at. And I think, you know, to answer this question, I think the league could be really good.
All right. Guys, as we head this episode to the barn here, I wanted to give everybody an opportunity to, contribute in the form of contacting either of these two gentlemen with your comments and your questions and that kind of thing. You can get a hold of Shane Combs at his email address, which is admin1@svcsportszone.com. You can also follow him, of course, on Twitter and message him there as well, where his handle is @svcsportszone. And if you're searching for SVC information, you want to use the hashtag search SVC Sports Talk. I was looking at that hashtag on Friday night just to follow along with what was going on in the league, and it was a great resource because my search gave me all the information I was looking for that particular night. On Facebook, Shane maintains two profiles, one being Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone, and svcsportszone.com. For Mr. Bruce, you can email him at jbruce1018@yahoo.com, and you can follow him on Twitter as well, where his handle is @CoconutWallPapa. Coconut Wall Papa. And of course, again, if you want to find the information he's putting out there about SVC, use the hashtag SVC Sports Talk. And we mentioned something last week. Our cohort in absentia right now is Mr. Derek Webb. He's kind of, you know, flying big time up there at the Buckeyes. He tweeted a great picture from his press box seat the other day, and I just, you talk about envy. I was all about it. But if you want to follow what he's covering regarding the SVC, you can look for him on his new handle that he maintains about the SVC and so forth. It's @DWebWrites. And then, of course, I can't go on without giving him some major grief about his verified account at DW1509, where you can pick up all of his Buckeye news and information as well as he covers the big-time scene up there in Columbus. And while we're at it, we would ask that you consider subscribing to the podcast via iTunes or Stitcher. And, of course, we would love to have some favorable comments or a favorable review. So, Shane, that about does it for this episode, I believe.
Well, John, really fun show. And Aaron, I guess it makes sense. Let's go ahead and end the show like we started it with another congrats to Laura Smith.
Yes.
And on that note, you talking about Derek, check out the Derek webpage on svcsportszone.com. He covered the Westfall Southeastern volleyball match last week, but then his first feature for us is 100 Reasons to Smile, former Warriors weigh in on Laura Smith's latest milestone win, where he talks to some former players. Really well written article. So you want to check that out. He'll work a couple days a week there for us, getting some various things there. And it's just another great way to add coverage. As always, shout out to David Weishong there at Chillicothe Gazette, Eric Cox on the Scoreboard Show. Those guys doing a great job. Again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to cover as many kids in the Cider Valley Conference as possible. We love doing it, and we certainly love the support. So, guys, on that note, if it's all right, we'll go ahead and say until next time for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website. For Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes and at DBK Media Services, and for John Bruce, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.